I'll be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. For when we were yet with our strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For he scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God cometh his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm always thankful for the opportunities that I have. I'm always thankful and mindful of that. This evening, I'd like to talk a little bit about freedom and liberty. And maybe my perspective is a little different than most. I teach 8th grade, and maybe you make the same observations that I do. And I hope my observations are incorrect. But I think that there are many things that we are slowly forgetting about freedom. I think as I look around and look at the way that sometimes individuals conduct themselves in our country, but also spiritually, I think sometimes we forget a little bit about freedom. We forget about the core principles, the core values, the core things that freedom is built upon. And as we go through Veterans Day, it just kind of reminds me of those who have dedicated their lives in many ways for that idea of freedom. I think there's a parallel that we can draw this evening from the idea of physical freedom and the idea of spiritual freedom. And I think there's a lot of things that we must not forget. Patrick Henry once said, he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." What is he talking about? Liberty is the state of being free. The state of being free. Give me liberty or give me death. Give me the state of being free. Or give me death. That's what Patrick Henry said. Have we forgotten some things about freedom? The first thing that I think many times that we forget about freedom is the cost of freedom. Both physically and spiritually, I think that's one thing that we must not, we cannot forget is the cost of freedom. Ronald Reagan was giving a speech one time and he was talking about the cost of physical freedom. And Ronald Reagan in that speech, he said, "The price of freedom is high, but we have always been willing to pay that price. When one forgets the price of freedom, all one has to do is look at the rolling hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with row upon row of white crosses or stars of David, and these only add up to be a fraction of the price that was paid for our freedom." Have we forgotten the price of freedom? Have we forgotten the cost of freedom? See, I think when we look around our country, we could look at individuals in our country and we could think that maybe some individuals have forgotten that cost that has been paid for our physical freedom. But this evening, I would like to reflect on our spiritual freedom. Have we forgotten about the cost that was paid for our spiritual freedom? The cost that God paid for each and every one of us. See, when we think about physical freedom, the cost is ever high. And it's a cost that keeps being added upon and added upon and added upon. And I've been to Arlington Cemetery twice, and it's a humbling experience as you look upon that row upon row upon row of those that have given their lives for the price of physical freedom. The cost is ever high as people bleed and people die for the cost of freedom. But what about our spiritual freedom? Do we forget about the cost, the high cost that was paid for our spiritual freedom? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, as our reading went, it says, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The cost was high, brothers and sisters in Christ. The cost was a man's life. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, that was the cost to purchase our freedom. And how many times do we forget that throughout our lives? See, it's not only reflecting on the cost that was paid, but it was reflecting on the idea that I did not have to pay that cost. All of us today did not have to pay that cost for physical freedom, but neither did we have to pay the cost for spiritual freedom. If that cost has already been paid, and it's good to reflect upon, what if I had to pay that cost? What if I was the one that had to go to the cross for all mankind? Could I go through it? Or as soon as the whip started hitting my back, would I call upon those angels to say, "Get me out of this mess"? The cost of freedom is ever high. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 38, it says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock of men among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." What was used to purchase the church? The blood of Christ. A high, high price which was paid for the freedom of us, of brothers and sisters in Christ. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Have you forgotten the cost of freedom? Maybe you've forgotten the cost of physical freedom, but we cannot afford to forget the cost that was paid for our spiritual life. The reality is this freedom isn't free. Sometimes we might wish it, sometimes we wish that didn't have to be paid, that the price didn't have to be paid for physical freedom, that the price would not be so high for our spiritual freedom, but that was the cost. The cost was that of blood of Jesus Christ. Our freedom was purchased at a cost, and if we forget that, I think we're in danger. If the Christian life is not valued, if the life, the freedom which we have is not valued, then what do we do with things that are not valued? We don't care about them. And when we don't care about those things, what happens? We don't get attention to them. And when we don't get attention to things, what happens is we lose them. We let freedom be lost in our lives and our spiritual lives, or we always try to remember the cost that was paid for freedom. I think sometimes people do a disservice. Many times in the denominational world, they'll say it's a free gift. And to some degree, I think there's elements that we can agree with that it's a free gift. But I think what we have to understand is that all gifts are free to the receiver. If you're receiving the gift, there's not really necessarily a price you have to pay when you're receiving a gift. But what about the one who purchased the gift? See, the gift of salvation, it's free to us. I don't have to pay anything for it. I think I have to accept the gift and do the things which God has told us to do. But in the terms of the payment of the gift being made, the payment was made long, long ago on a cross far, far away. Have we forgotten the cost of freedom? I think we find ourselves in a situation that's odd, particularly as people who live in this country, because I think the Bible teaches us something interesting about spiritual freedom. And the interesting thing about spiritual freedom is that you have to be a slave to be free. Which is not an idea that I think many people in this country will necessarily accept easily. The idea of if you want to be free spiritually, you have to become a slave. And I believe the Bible teaches in many places about sin and how it has a hold on us. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us all have sinned. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death. Sin is bondage. Sin is slavery." But what I want to focus on is what we find in Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. It says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though we were slaves to sin, yet we obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, and have been set free from sin, you become slaves to righteousness." The interesting idea that the Bible gives, in order to be free, you have to become a slave. You're going to be a slave to something in this life. You're going to serve something in this life. The question is, what are you going to serve? Are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve sin? Or are you going to serve God? You're going to become a servant to something in this life. The question is what? So the interesting idea is, in order to be free spiritually, you have to become a slave. Which here in America would not be something I think many people are glad to accept. Be a slave? Yeah, that's what God says. In order to be free spiritually, we have to become a servant of God. It's kind of the idea we find in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It's kind of the opposite of what you would think. You've got to lose your life in order to find it. We can be spiritually free only through God's help. And he leaves that plan for us in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. He says, "Now why are you waiting to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins? calling on the name of the Lord. God has paid the price. But sometimes we forget that there's a cost of ourselves. I think sometimes we try to put all the costs on God, and it's all God, and I'm not saying that God doesn't pay the price for sins. He does, but sometimes we forget about, is there any cost of ourselves? And a lot of times people in the world say, there's no cost of me. Well, actually, the cost is your life. That's what God asks of us, our life, that we are a living sacrifice. It doesn't mean that we do nothing. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42-41, it says, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. It said that they gladly received the word and were baptized. You want to receive spiritual freedom? You've got to do what God says. You can't do it your own way. You can't make up what you want. But have you counted the cost of yourself in the equation? Yes, God paid the cost. He paid the cost that you can be saved. But have you considered the cost of yourself? Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. It talks about the cost of discipleship. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25-33, it talks about the Christian life and how you need to consider the cost. The cost of what I would say spiritual freedom. It says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all, that he cannot be my disciple. Have you considered the cost of becoming a Christian? It's forsaking all. That's the cost given. It's a high cost. Are you willing to pay that cost? See, when we think the cost of spiritual freedom, there is a cost of spiritual freedom. God paid that cost, but we also cannot forget that there's a cost of ourselves. But the reality is, freedom isn't free. And when we forget that freedom isn't free, that's when it slips out of our grasp. When we think that freedom doesn't have a cost that has to be paid, we forget of the value that freedom has. Freedom isn't free. Number one, there's a cost of freedom. Number two, another thing that I think people forget many times, is there's a fight to maintain freedom. There's a fight to maintain freedom. Once the cost is paid, once you have decided yourself to become a Christian, the battle is not over. The battle has just begun. And if we say that there is not a fight to maintain freedom, I think we have deceived ourselves. Some individuals in their spiritual lives, once they have attained spiritual freedom, once they have become Christians, what they say is the battle's over. The victory's been won. There's nothing more to do. There's no more need to grow. There's no other things that need to be done. But there's a fight to maintain freedom. Isn't there a fight to maintain physical freedom? Isn't the cost just keep being added up year after year as people bleed and they die on foreign soil trying to maintain the freedom which we have in our country? The same thing is in our spiritual freedom. If there is a fight that we have on our hands to maintain our spiritual freedom. It's hard day in and day out to be a Christian, isn't it? Maybe you guys don't have the struggles that I do, but I have struggles going through my day-to-day life. It's a fight each and every day to keep my mind right, to make sure that I don't fall back into those sins and those temptations, because it's easy to not fight the fight of a Christian. There are many individuals who want to say they're fighting the fight of the Christian, but there's a daily fight to maintain our freedom from sin, to keep sin out of our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God gives you a path, to get away from the temptation. The question is, are you going to take it? And there's many temptations out there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Is that easy? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Is it easy to go through the Christian life as these temptations come at us, as our challenges and our trials and our tribulations and our persecutions come our way? Is it easy to fight the fight of a Christian? Or are there days that we grow weary? Are there days that we're tired? Are there days that we're wore out? There's a fight to maintain freedom. And the Bible alludes to it many different ways. One time in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, it gets very specific with this illustration that we are in a spiritual war, that we must prepare ourselves with spiritual weapons, that we must defend ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It's a fight to maintain freedom. And we fool ourselves if we think that there's not a fight day in and day out to make sure that we stay free from sin, that we keep sin out of our lives. Because it's so easy to creep in. It's so easy to creep in. And I think sometimes we fall into the position that we think if we're neutral, we'll be okay. There's no neutral when it comes to Christian life. God says you're either for me or against me. There's no neutral. There's no default. And when we switch over to a default, we think we'll be okay. That's when we fall. That's when we get into all kinds of sin and temptations. I'll be all right. I don't need to study. I don't need to grow. I don't need to come to services. I don't need to study the Word of God. I don't need to do these things. You're in a fight. A fight for your soul and for the souls of those that are around you, to try to encourage them, to try to be there for them, to do the things that you know you need to do to be there. There's a daily fight to be a Christian. There's a fight to maintain freedom. We have to live a life fighting for God. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice." God's not interested in dead sacrifices anymore. He's interested in living sacrifices, the sacrifice of ourselves, that we do everything that we can to fight the fight day in and day out to help those that are around us. But do we forget about that fight at times? A lot of people look into the law of liberty, the law of the state of being free, and they like some of it, and they take what they want. They want to look into God's Word, the law of liberty, and take what they want, but a lot of times they don't want the law. They don't want the law of liberty. They just want the freedom. Well, a lot of times when you take freedom, you got to take the law. There's some laws that go with it, okay? You don't just get all the freedom. You got to take some laws with it, but sometimes people just want the freedom. They don't want the law. Well, where does it talk about this? Well, James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." It's the one who looks at God's word, the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it. It's not one who looks in one time and then says, "I'm going to stop." It's not the one who gets taken down by the trials and the temptations and the persecutions of this life, and they say, "I'm going to give up." It's the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Day in and day out, that they are hearers of the word and doers of the word. People want spiritual freedom, but they don't want the law of liberty. They don't want to maintain. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to put in the effort to maintain the freedom which they have. And isn't that how it is when it comes to physical freedom? I want all the freedom you can give me, but I don't want to do anything I don't want to have any obligations, responsibilities, I don't want to be involved, I don't want to do these things.
Well, you're not going to maintain your freedom. It's going to slip away.
Because you're not putting forth the effort, you're not putting forth the conscious effort to be mindful that we have work to do, that there is work to be done to maintain freedom, both physical and spiritual. But what happens is people, they don't like what the Bible says. They don't like what it says we have to do to maintain our freedom, to stay free from sin, to stay out of those temptations and those trials. So what they do is they try to make their own rules. I don't want the law of liberty. I don't want to be free, basically, is what they're saying when they try to reject the law of liberty. So they said, we're going to make our own rules. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, these individuals who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. There's some individuals who say, I don't want to go through all of this effort. I don't want to do all of these things. I don't want to stay right. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my own laws. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to exchange the truth for a lie. The same idea is kind of repeated in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. It says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God. They seek to establish their own righteousness. Well, why are they doing that? They haven't submitted to the law of liberty. They want to make their own rules. They want to do it their own way. They want to get out of what their obligations are. They want to get out of their obligations to God. I think we're at a point in the world where it seems like people can justify about anything. And if we're not mindful, and we're not watchful, particularly when it comes to God's Word, all those things will creep in. Are we willing to fight the fight of faith? Are we willing to do what the Bereans did in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 and search the Scriptures daily? Well, I don't want to do that. That's too much work. I don't want to search the Scriptures daily. Well, guess what? Freedom's going to slip away. Well, we don't want to fight other. We don't want to try to fight against people who are trying to take us over. We're going to lose this freedom. Isn't that what's going to happen? If we don't fight the fight of a Christian, if we don't do those things we know we should do, it's too hard to read my Bible. It's too hard to study. It's too hard to come together. It's too hard to do these things. Freedom's going to slip away. There's a fight. There's a fight on our hands to maintain freedom. To be diligent, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it's talking about circumcision a little bit here, but it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We try to sometimes go and we try to make ourselves do things that God didn't ask us to do. Just do the things that God asked us to do. Stand in the law of liberty. Stand in the things that God has told us to do to maintain our freedom. But have we forgotten to be doers of the word and not hearers only? Have we forgot the fight of the Christian life? Have we forgot to pray? Have we forgot to study? Have we forgot to love our neighbor as ourselves? Have we forgot to do good to all, especially those of the household of faith, or we say, I give up, this is too hard? The freedom slips away if we don't understand that there's a fight to maintain our freedom. Number one, we have to remember that there is a cost to freedom. Number two, we have to remember that there is a fight to maintain freedom. And number three, I think we have to remember, what are we fighting for? What are we fighting for? What would be worth it all? Heaven. That's what would be worth it all. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus is talking to them and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he describes it, he says, there's going to be mansions, there's going to be these things. And he says, where I'm going to prepare this place, he says, where I am, you may be also. Have you forgot what you're fighting for? You're fighting for heaven. Not something to be overlooked or scoffed at, an eternal home for prepared people where there'll be no tears, no pain, all these things will be away. Do we realize the spiritual situation that we're in? Do we realize what we're fighting for? There's a story about, and it's been told different ways, I've actually read it in multiple different texts, but it's about this general. And this general comes to this beach, And he comes to the beach, and once he gets to the beach, all his troops just go off the boat. And there's the enemy right in front of them. And there's nowhere to go, pretty much. All they can do is get back on the boats. And the general, realizing this, he sets fire to all the boats. So now there's the beach and the ocean, miles and miles long, and then there's the enemy. And all his troops are on the beach, and he burns all the boats, and he says, basically to them, he says, "We will have victory or we will die." There's no going back. Sometimes I don't think we realize the situation that we're in. See, we have been dropped off on the beach. The beach is life. The beach is life. You've got a few choices now. Well, what's your choices? You can fight the Christian fight and do the best you can and have victory, or you're going to die. That's the situation you're in. And often people think about, what other option do you have but the Christian life? Is there salvation in any other place? There's no salvation in any other name. Is there any other way that we can? No, there's no other way for victory. The only way to have victory is to fight for Jesus Christ and to give your best. That's the only option you have. What other option do you have? You're just going to stand on the beach? You're going to get killed. You're going to run back to the ocean? You're going to drown and die. The only choice you have is to fight for your spiritual freedom. But do we forget the situation that we're in? Do we try to make it rosy? Do we try to paint a prettier picture? What are the two options? The two options I see in the Bible are heaven and hell. Those are the two options. Fight the fight for freedom, because it's the only choice you have. Have you forgot what you're fighting for? You're fighting for heaven. Give me liberty or give me death. You know, when it comes to spiritual freedom, those are our options. Give me spiritual freedom or give me death, spiritual death. Those are your two options. I wish there was something else that I could give you today, but when I look at the Bible, those are the two options which you have. Fight for spiritual freedom. Fight for spiritual freedom. Do we forget what we're fighting for? Because I think if we understand what we're fighting for, it can be a massive motivational factor, and I think that's what God set up for us. We're only motivated by two primary things, as far as I can see, pain and pleasure. And God put both of them on the spectrum. Pain and pleasure. Heaven and hell. Those are the two options. All the pleasure you could possibly have as eternal life being with God in heaven. And then guess what? Yes, hell. The maximum amount of pain you could possibly have. God set up the best motivational system, and somehow we try to forget about it throughout our lives, that you've got two options. Which one are you going to pick? As Joshua said, choose for yourself this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? It's the best option. It's the only option that leads to freedom. At the end of Ronald Reagan's speech, he references, I believe, a World War I soldier. And he talks about the soldier who dies. And he dies, and the soldier who dies, they find his diary. And in his diary, he talks a little bit about what I believe he's talking about, physical freedom. In this diary of this man who had died serving his country, it said in his diary, "America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the whole issue of the struggle depended on me alone." That was what was in his diary. It's amazing what people will do for physical freedom. But could we change that around and think about spiritual freedom? Are you willing to do the same thing for spiritual freedom that this gentleman was willing to do for physical freedom? Christ must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do the utmost as if the whole issue of the struggle depended on me alone. Are you fighting for spiritual freedom? Have you forgotten what you're fighting for? Because that's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for spiritual freedom, but it goes beyond me, doesn't it? Because I'm not only fighting for the spiritual freedom of myself, but those that I love. Is there anything else worth fighting for? When we look through history, people have fought for all kinds of things. They have fought for land. They have fought for power. They have fought for money. What I fight for is way more important than any of those things. What do I fight for? Spiritual freedom. Not only for myself, but for those that I love. do you fight for spiritual freedom? Have you forgotten that that's what you're fighting for? The war that we're in is not of the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." We have everything that we need to win the spiritual war that's before us. God laid it all out in His inspired Word. I'm not trying to fight a physical war. I'm trying to fight a spiritual war. A spiritual war that many lives are in the balance. When you think about it, the things that we fight war upon this earth, we fight it over all kinds of silly things. Land, power, money, all kinds of things. And people will fight hard for those things. But have you ever thought about fighting for spiritual freedom? How much more would you give for that freedom? What price would you pay for spiritual freedom? How much work would you put in to maintain that freedom? Have you forgotten what you're fighting for? That freedom of being with God in heaven one day. When I look across our country, there are certain things that I think people forget, but there are certain things as Christians that we must not forget. As Christians, as brothers, sisters in Christ, we cannot forget the cost of freedom. We cannot afford to forget the cost of freedom. Not only the cost of God giving the life of His Son so that we could be with Him in heaven one day, but we can't forget the cost of ourselves. The cost of discipleship. To give our lives and dedicate our lives to fight for that spiritual freedom. We cannot forget about the fight that we have. We can't forget about the day in and the day out grind of being a Christian and doing those things that God wants us to do to maintain the freedom and to encourage those others to fight the same fight that we are as well. And certainly we cannot forget what we're fighting for because it can motivate us to do things that we never thought we could do. To take us to places that we never thought we would go because all we're trying to do is spread that beautiful message of spiritual freedom for eternity. You can have that freedom today. Purchased at a high, high cost. But it's a freedom that you can have. It's a freedom that you didn't have to pay the cost for, but that God paid it all so that you could be free. That He could redeem you out of the bondage of sin, out of slavery, so that you could be spiritually free. You can take advantage of that freedom today. By doing those things which God has asked us to do, by hearing the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting, turning away from a life of sin, and dedicating yourself to the law of liberty, those things that God has stated, those things that He's asked us to do, that you confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you're born anew. Fighting not a physical war, but a spiritual war for the freedom, the spiritual freedom of yourself and the ones that you love. To encourage them to keep fighting throughout this life. There's nothing else worth fighting for. Spiritual freedom. What a wonderful and beautiful thing that we're blessed with as Christians that you can have today if you become a New Testament Christian. If you need the prayers of the church in any way, or you need the help of us, we would love to help you any way we can. If you're subject to Lord's invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand as we sing.